What sort of food do you like to eat? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing, here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. What kind of food do you like to eat? Well, I personally like to eat food that tastes good. How about that? Now, can you make vegetarian meals taste good? Very much so. Can you make other type of meat meals taste good? They say yes. How do you make food taste good? Well, I'm going to open a store, and the store is going to offer the technique for making meals taste good. And it's going to be a store that is going to become very prominent and very wealthy. It's going to spread across the earth like wildfire. And it's going to be one of the biggest money-making stores in the world. Now, what is it going to sell? How to make all foods taste good. Now, in the first place, it has to have someone who is doing the preparing. Now, who does the food preparation in your house? And you have a tendency to say, I do. And of course, that's not correct. You don't make the food in your house. The food in your house is made by your family, which could include yourself, but by your family. Your family has certain tastes, and that determines the food that you have in the house. That determines the types of things that you're going to eat and the type of things that you're going to serve. Now, isn't that the people who are eating what we're serving? Now, you know, certain houses, restaurants are known for certain types of foods and certain types of diets, and a steakhouse and a hamburger house and Wendy's and this and that. And people go there. Now, Wendy's was having a big tussle over their hamburgers. And the Newsweek magazine and a bunch of other magazines were featuring it and saying how Wendy's, I believe it was Wendy's, was making a big mistake. They had a big piece of bread with a little hamburger in the middle, you know, like a quarter in the middle of a great big hamburger bun. And they're playing jokes at them and saying how sad they are. And Wendy's is like the fifth highest producing fast food store in the world, you know. And they can't be all bad. But what is it that brings people to Wendy's? Well, what brings people to Wendy's is the father and the daughter and the relationship thing and the restaurant, and that they feel a warmth in there and they feel goodness. Now, they may have go through something in their portion sharing thing, but the thing is, basically, it's the friendliness and the love that's in there. Well, what brings people into the kitchens of the world? Love. Love is the most beautiful thing that anyone could ever serve at their table. You could serve the most incomplete, incomprehensible meal that anyone could ever think about. But if that meal is served with love, if that meal is served with unconditional love, wow, no matter what the people eat, no matter what is being served, it is eaten with great gusto and great enthusiasm and great enjoyment, you see. Now, this is the commodity I want to put on the on the market. This is the commodity I want to put on a chain of restaurants. Now, see, one restaurant calls itself Love's, and I've been in there, and they're okay, but they're not a Love's restaurant. They're just a fast food restaurant, and with they lost their personality. When Love's first came on the market as a brand new restaurant, it was a very loving restaurant. You went in there and you were treated like a prince and princess, and people loved to go in there. And so the restaurant went on to develop chains, and in the chains they forgot the love, and they just had the food, and they thought, surely if we have the same good food that we always had, that'll make the difference. But what made the difference was how they served that food. They served that food with love in the beginning, and their restaurant became very famous for being Love's Restaurant. Now, when a mother or father or family serve their food to their family with love, it's done great. When Dad says, "All right, gang, I'm making dinner tonight," everybody says, "No!" Or if Dad says, "All right, gang, I'm making dinner tonight, it's my special barbecue," and they say, "Ooh, wee, oh, woo," because he puts a lot of love into it. He puts a lot of care into it. He puts a lot of pizzazz into it. He puts a lot of junk into it, you know, and it smells so good, but he's got so much love in there. Now, why doesn't Mother have that same thing with all of her meals, too? And she doesn't have that same thing with all of her meals because she gets tired after a while. She gets tired of making the meals, of serving the meals. Whenever a meal is not served with love, whenever the kitchen people are upset about anything, they should leave the kitchen. They should not remain in there. Because they're serving a meal with tension, with anxiety, with anger, and with other unhappy things in it. Because that is just as palpable, just as substantive a thing as the food itself. And if we ever serve anything which is not love, we shouldn't be serving anything. Because love is what it's all about. And when we really care and serve every meal we serve with absolute love, we are the most successful restaurant in town. We are the most successful place. What does a mother serve to her children? She doesn't have a lot. She may have very little food. She may have very little meat, very little soup or whatever. And she puts more water in it. And she spreads it around, and the family knows that she's serving it to them with all her love. Daddy stopped at the bar and drank up his paycheck, and so they didn't have enough to buy the food. Well, damn Daddy, you know. But Mom is going to do her best with what she's got. You understand? Now, that love, the kids will love Mom. The kids will say, "We're okay, we'll get by, and they do. Because love carries them through. It's like the story we told about the two ladies in India. They were starving, and each had a child. Each had a little daughter, and they lived in different cities. And one woman had a cup of rice, and that's all she had. And she made it for herself and her daughter, and she said, "Sweetheart, this is our last meal." And then they died after the rice digested and so on. And the other woman said to her daughter, "Sweetheart, this is all the rice we have, but we're going to eat it, and we're going to find a way to get more. We're going to come through this okay. We're going to make it. And they ate the rice. And they did find a way to get through it. They did find more food. They found it because they expected it, because it was done with love and the expectation of living. The other one had the expectation of dying in the same amount of food. Now, is that a real story? Oh my, yes. Is that story taking place every day? Yes. In every country, in every home in the land? Yep. Mm-hmm. It sure is. You are raising your children with foods that you think tantalize them. With foods that have no substance to it. Foods which have caffeine in it, which gives the kids a high and causes them to be unstable, and on and on and on. All sorts of naughty foods that do not benefit the kids. And you say, "Well, I buy the best. I buy the best Coke. I buy the best things." Like, and yes, you do. But the thing is, it's not best for them. Better if you had given them a bottle of water than a bottle of Coke. They would be a lot healthier and live a lot longer. And less candy, better teeth, and so forth. Not just teeth, but everything else in the body. And grains of whole wheat rather than white flour that's bleached and cleaned out of all of its essence. But the thing is, they can eat the white flour. They can drink the Cokes. They can do all these things and be perfectly healthy if it is all done with purest of love. But you're working harder. If you give the purest of love and give quality foods, less food, but quality, they'll be healthier and happier and more wonderful than anything on earth, because we do live in a fat society, and the fat society is consciousness, not food. But the food is part of it. So just remember, if you want to come to my restaurant, or if you want to buy a franchise in my restaurant, it's available. It's called the Unconditional Loving Restaurant, and we serve unconditional love, no food, but unconditional love, and we have the happiest, healthiest, most wonderful people on earth, because we give them unconditional love, which is the substance, the essence, the food that none can ever take away. Have a lovely day, and enjoy your food this way. I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you.